The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 16th of May 2017, and go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and look at our brand new product, the Winner Circle. This is obviously a digital download. There's 12 modules on there, and basically it's me speaking for a minimum of a half an hour per module. And it goes everything from my beginnings, my philosophy, right through to pullovers, dips, high shrugs, sandbag training, stone training, power rack training, dead stop training. You want to really build some arms? I'll show you how to do them. I put one of my articles up there yesterday about thick bar training. And now, among many things I'm doing to get ready to go away to stone lift again, I'm doing some stuff with the spinal erectae I've never seen anybody do with the movements, the way they've incorporated them together. And my goal is to build two Roman pillars on my back. And I don't say that lightly, and it's not a joke either. I've got a hold of some older Perry Rader Iron Man magazines. I believe that it might be from either the late 60s or very early in the 70s. They show a lot of the athletes, especially over in the Soviet bloc back at the time, some of the things they were doing, and you want to see backs on them. You know, you talk about a Hola or Riegert or even the American lifters after they got back. Joe Doobie went over and discovered what they were doing, and it was a couple movements that were absolutely unbelievable, and I'm going to show you what they look like after a while, because the premise on everything is, and I believe it totally, when you have a back built like that from the very bottom of your neck right down to the top of your butt crack, there isn't anything you're pretty much not going to lift. So we'll see if my theory works when I go to Iceland, Scotland, and Wales, and you'll all get to be witness of it. So I'll keep you abreast more on that as we keep rolling here. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Right now we have 680 podcasts in a little over 2 years, and there'd be even more if there wasn't so much business to do here. But business comes first to survive. But we're still putting out at least 7 a week. Before we were doing 9 to 15, which is unheard of in this field. Most guys or girls doing them, you're lucky if you get one a month. This is a workhorse here, and we love it. Go out and check that out. We've got everybody. You name them, they're on there. I mean, Dan, John, anybody with MMA, you know, all the guys, all the big stone lifters, Martin Jancic, Bill Crawford. It goes all the way through. Plus, we have the guys we really like that work out in any type of environment, backyard, cold, rain, snow, whatever. And today in Albany, we've had rain for multiple days. I'm talking day upon day. We've got summer now starting officially today, it seems like. They're talking right up in the low 90s with high humidity. So we go from one to the other, but before you know it, it'll cool down again. So go out there and look at that. Also, too, I've been asking. We are in a very tight confines monetarily. This show is big to run every month, and we are asking for donations to the show because we want to be able to keep up this quality programming, obviously. And either way, it's going to be done, but we need some input and we need some cash. So if you would like to contribute to this show, because I know how many people it's helped, we would appreciate anything, because it just gets more and more, let me put it this way. Expenses keep going up like everything in the world. So if you'd like to contribute, we would greatly appreciate it. You can go out to my PayPal account, go out to Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com, and be part of us for the next 30 years. Be our family, and we appreciate it. I've got Zach Blaine on with me today, but before I bring this gentleman in, everybody knows I love to read excerpts out of books, and I've been hitting the John Wooden book A Gangway today like crazy. And I'm going to read from A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and off the court. Wooden, Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. And I love this among many in this book. The opinion of others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And I always say this at the end of the show. My dad constantly reminded me to be a leader and not a follower. With that in mind, we're going to bring Zach in. As you know, I love introduction shows. Zach is brand new to the family, but I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman before we bring him in. He owns Dynamic Fitness LLC. That's out in Oregon. He's an unconventional trainer, and he uses a multitude of training equipment, such as clubs, maces, sledgehammers, kettlebells, sandbags, becoming very proficient at body weight, which I'm a big believer in. And that's really how he gets his max movements. And I know that he's got some other things I'm sure we're going to talk about. But Zach, welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm happy to be here, Eric. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You are welcome, sir. Give out your website, please, and anything I missed, add that on. And we're going to fire right in an introduction, my friend.
Well, I'm Zach Blaine, owner of Dynamic Fitness. I do not do website. I do Facebook and then just do promotions here.
Okay.
I got into fitness early on at an early age, but indirectly through dance first. Yep. And then martial arts, mixed sports, and then college athlete. And then after spending some time in Europe and working overseas, I worked my way back here and opened my studio. And my focus is primarily on patterns,
okay,
getting people to move very well and very efficiently away from pain with a lot of different styles, as you mentioned, and trying to get them to grease the groove of that pattern. So I really appreciate that style, and I approach everything by kind of low repetitions and getting people to practice certain patterns very proficiently, and then mixing it up by using a lot of unconventional styles.
That's a great way to do things, obviously. And I like the idea you do low reps too, because that's all I do around here with what I like to do. First question is, and you know, I kind of got a little bit about what you said, obviously, and we've gone back, you know, I've seen so many things. You know, I'm very pleased that you do like the post on Etched in Stone, because that page has just ignited and exploded. Even my brother, who I spoke to the other day from Seattle, you know, we were talking about how much this show is climbing like crazy. And, you know, I was telling him some of the numbers, and, you know, he is in a lot of that genre, not the sports end, but he is in charge of a company called Intrafish out in Seattle, based out in Sweden. So he does quite a bit of writing. He is the lead guy there, and he runs the show on the USA end. So he's very involved in media all the time. And he even couldn't believe how quick we've climbed here. But he said the one thing, and, you know, when I just said this with you, he said the thing that's so impressive is that that Etched in Stone page. He said that page has just exploded in no time. And I said, well, being involved now with a lot of the stone lifters over in the UK and Ireland and you know, Scotland and all over the place now, it's kind of struck a chord all over the place, and I'm really trying to push it in America big time. If you've been paying attention to the sandbag stuff and everything going on, and the new product we're going to have out shortly called Etched in Stone, et cetera, et cetera. But what I wanted to ask you, I know that was long-winded, Zach, but what, you know, I know you said that you started out with dance as a young man. What really got you involved? And this is what I call, and we are bringing it back in a way like you're never going to see anyone do, physical culture is what I call it. Because, see, I don't care what everybody does. We're still doing a physical culture life where this is what we believe in. We live it. We sleep it. We eat it. It's a philosophy and a lifestyle. What got you involved in physical culture, please?
My motivation came predominantly from just independence. I wanted to move freely. I wanted to not be inhibited when I moved. And it started creatively. Dance was good. Dance became more martial. Then it became more specific with sports. Then I moved away from that. But it was always about being more independent. Seeing someone else move and then wanting to be able to move like them. And then trying to figure out how I could do it as smart as possible and as pain-free as possible. And then figure out some way to measure it. So this what came apart when I started working with clients was, how can I figure out, you got so many different body types, how can I figure out how can I evaluate you getting stronger? And then I just started thinking in terms of percentages. So
okay,
deadlifting your body weight is an accomplishment, but not huge, but maybe swinging your body weight or maybe doing a goblet squat with your body weight, all very difficult things, but percentage-wise, taking your body weight and slowly seeing if you could move in relation to that percentage slowly up. So maybe working up to a third of your body weight, then maybe a half of your body weight, and then seeing how many patterns you could do that in. Many of them you won't reach, but you slowly keep building up a little bit of a percentage on each of those things and kind of gain the independence of controlling your weight through different styles, different movements, different methodologies, and always coming back to that independence. Like, I know I can freely move. I can move on both legs. I can move with both arms. And how can I do it more and more dynamically? So I'm independent to do my own stuff. And I try to do that with my clients too. So if you're working with me, you're always trying to, if I'm going to be doing this with you, I want you to be able to do it into your 90s and keep having that independence.
No,
just like a kid.
Yeah.
Just like a kid.
That's an awesome way to do things. Let me ask you this. I'm sure you do. You deal with a lot of big strength athletes. What is it about, you know, I think you know enough about me right now that most of the stuff I do is in a power rack when it comes to the free weights. It's all dead stop. Other than we all know a deadlift, it's a different story. But when I do any type of pressing, whether it's a floor press, overhead, and obviously a dead stop squat, which I feel is one of the best movements you could ever do. Nothing, it's not a very easy movement to learn, and you're going to be humbled in a lot of ways, which I don't mind. I've been humbled a ton in my life. That doesn't bother me one bit. And you probably know too, I love stones. You know, I've been to Iceland twice, obviously. Blew a bicep in Iceland like a few of us did that day. These are things that go along with the trade. But when you get an athlete that's doing things like that and you want to make them last, like I always say, I'm going to live to at least 100 minimum. I'm going to squat 250 and drop dead, and that's the end of me. To me, that is the way I'd love to go out. What do you do mobility-wise? What are you working with an athlete that is lifting very big, dangerous, dominating things that have to really have, you know, not only the mental triggers built in their head and obviously the spiritual triggers too, but we got to keep the body as healthy and as efficient as we can and be able, like you said, move. What do you do with an athlete like that?
Well, I first want to say Etched in Stone is a huge page and I've been following it, and I'm new to stones, so it's been great for me as someone new to stones to really follow that page and get a lot from it.
Good.
When I've taken on a new athlete, when we sit down and have the conversation, I already know that they're strong, but they're usually specifically strong. So we're always working on what they're not doing. So if they're doing really, really heavy weight, can we start moving them away to doing weight that allows them to do their body weight with one arm? Can we move them away from heavy racks to maybe pistol squats and getting them more symmetry in their hips so they can move a little bit more freely? I'm always curious where they might be too strong.
Okay.
And then trying to figure out where there's a happy balance. The ones that come up the most frequently, you always get a lot of clients that are in golf, the very asymmetrical sport. and they want to come in and do sports specific things. And actually what they need to do is less golf. They need to get generally strong and just start building up some symmetry in the body. And it's just one example, but usually anybody who's doing something very specific, I'm always trying to pull them back and get something more general, but allows them to keep excelling at whatever they really truly love. Because at the end of the day, if you're going to keep doing this into your 90s, you got to love it. So how can we make it a little bit more pain-free and a little bit more symmetrical so you can keep doing it as long as possible?
Yeah, and I mean, that is a big thing, because we see a lot of really good athletes no matter what they're in. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be weightlifting or stones, you know, baseball, football, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we know the shelf life in those sports, especially at professional level, is not long. I mean, the Montanas, the guys like that, you know, the Messiers, you know, whatever. You know, you look at a guy like Derek Jeter, you know, the other night when they retired his number. I mean, that's a freak, all right? That doesn't happen a lot. And either, to me, they're so damn gifted genetically. I mean, and then, you know, I hear them talking about Jeter and how many times he was just literally wrecked, but yet he willed it to get out on the field and still played. And if you listen to what he said, you know, winning was everything to him, and he spread that like fire through the team. And I know just from when we talk on shows and comments I get from people that listen to this show. I mean, I've had guys on here and girls recently. We had Kirsten Tulick on here, and she even put it out on Facebook.
Oh, she's great.
She's awesome. She's awesome. And she said to me, she sent me another note after the show, and of course it was nighttime in Scotland there. And she said, Eric, your personality dynamically and the way you are about everything, she says, I can't even sleep now tonight because you've got me so fired up. And I understand that totally. That's nothing I did on purpose. It's just the energy I bring to everything I do, because there's no such thing as a bad show. The idea is to get good people on that you have great exchange with. You don't have to agree on everything, but man, oh man, when you put a product out, you get people to sit up, listen up, and do something with it. And that's what we're doing here today. Now, I would say this. Obviously, I've got the gist of where you came from and what you're doing here. Is there anybody, there's got to be people, I'm sure, in the strength field or any field, past, present, and future, that you look up to, that you've seen some of the things they've done and said, you know what, I like what they do, I'm going to develop my own style, you know, and we all take from people. I mean, let's face it, I've read so many things, past, present, and I know in the future, and you take, encapsulate it, build it, try it, design your own way. But let's face it, there isn't a hell of a lot that's changed since the beginning of whatever it is we're all doing, we'll call it physical culture. It's just there's improvements. Yes, there are some new products, some new ideas, but the majority of stuff has been around for a long time. So who do you look up to? Who's been a big presence in your life? Let's go, you know, we can talk business. We can obviously talk physical culture. So take it away.
I don't know, in the past, before you get into present day, which is just amazing with online stuff, like there's so many trainers out there where I just want to get them connected, because we have great ideas and we're bouncing ideas off of each other. If you go back, definitely a fan of two people specifically that might be somewhat famous is Bruce Lee and Jerry Rice. Bruce Lee for self-expression. I know that there's no new exercises. I know that the body can move, in my opinion, about 5 ways.
Yep.
Some people would kick that up to about 8 ways, but it can't move that many ways. So it really comes down to, how am I going to put my stamp on it? That's my interpretation. How am I going to put my self-expression out there? And then all these other people that you have posts coming daily, wow, they're doing something different. They're tweaking that. I can learn from that and build on my own self-expression. And then from work ethic, it's got to be Jerry Rice, because he would say, today I'm going to do what others won't, so tomorrow I can do what others can't. And that always stuck with me, because it's like, I'm not going to have fun doing this, It's going to be tough. It's going to be rugged, but I'm going to do it, get it done, so I can keep doing things like this later on. And then I just keep building off of people today. There's Pablo Wintu in Norway. There's Paul Firehouse Gray in England. Yep. There's my good friend Kevin Rail in Utah. There's Jeremy Romick, who's real close to me over here. He's just 3 hours south of me here in Northern California. The list just goes on and on. Alex Kay, who's in UK also. It's getting very international. I mean, to list all the names would take forever, and you would always leave someone out.
Yeah.
But we're getting to the point now where you got things getting mixed in with yoga, mixed martial arts, dance, and really they're not doing anything different, but they're putting some spin on it where you're like, I like what they're doing. They're doing their own thing.
Yep.
And there's something in there that I can learn from. And then you just keep your continuing education is just watching the feed and listening to the shows. They're like, I'm learning from this person. I'm not learning from going to some lecture and hearing somebody say the same thing over and over again, and then the next lecturer says the same thing over and over again, and I get my credits. I'm watching live feed and picking up and improving myself and having more self-expression just by watching what everybody's doing, and that's a cool time to live in.
Yeah, and I agree with that totally because you know, I for a number of years have trained by myself. You know, occasionally people come over here, but you're not going to get a lot of buyers initially to lift stones, sandbags, dead stop training. It's absolutely brutal stuff. You have to really have a very aggressive mindset with a lot of things. There's an awful lot of learning. There's an awful lot of stuff constantly going on here. And if you don't like extremes as far as weather goes, this wouldn't be the place for you. Because it doesn't matter if you got a foot of snow and it's a carry night with stones and the snow's coming down. Well, the lights are all on in the driveway. And you know what? You either show up or you don't. You either walk it or you don't. And everyone knows. Powdered snow, we've been very lucky with this year. It really has a tendency when it's just below your kneecaps to slow you down pretty good. And obviously you are going to be cutting down weight. It's very hard to hold a stone, especially a steel stone, because you can wear the heaviest as far as, I mean, warmest flannel shirt. But for anybody that has never done this in the Northeast, when it's cold and snowing, number one, tacky doesn't work in the cold, though they do make a new one now for it if you want to do it. I don't. But your arms and everything, the only thing you can use is chalk, and it's not going to really help you that much. It feels like literally your shirt is greased with something. You can hardly squeeze the sides of that stone to do this. Now, this is where I'm getting at, Zach, when we talk about the actual feed. The actual look, the actual hearing the people talking about what we're talking about today, who actually do the deeds. And what I'm saying to everyone, and obviously to you, my friend, is this. When you go out and you do a lot of practical things on your own, especially when you are resigned to doing things by yourself, either because of that's what you want to do, or that situation presents itself, and really, for what I do, is not going to be in many commercial gyms. That's a scene I'll never go back to, no matter what. You build a whole different style, a mental style, physical style, emotional style, spiritual style. It's all changed. And I like the idea of the creative process, and this is what it's done for me more than anything. How do I come up with a piece of equipment here where I'm safe and I can do X, Y, Z? And how do I implement it? What is it going to do for me? What is going to be the biggest dividend or dividends to it? And this is why I feel the practical experience either you garner from, say, yourself or myself or anybody that we know mutually or not, that's where you learn. That's where you become the best version of yourself, in my opinion. I can tell you this. When I had to go it alone, it was not easy at first. I mean, when you're used to training with your own brother and your best friend, who's like family, like blood to you, and it goes up in flames, it's an eye opener right there. Suddenly you're alone. Nobody's cheering you. Nobody's loading your weights anymore. You got to rely on yourself. And I think that is one of the most important things a lifter, we'll just say physical culture. Anybody involved in this beautiful thing called physical culture, I think it's a thing that not everybody can do. You have to be a personality of a different sort. You have to think a little bit backwards, as they say to me all the time. But yet, you get through this and keep growing, you will be so dynamic, so good, and always wanting to get better that if it was me, and I tell people all the time, how do you get stronger in every single way? Or, you know, because we know now there's so many books out on the mental stuff and all this, and we've got a lot of these gents on the show, which they're great. But I'm telling you right now, it's like when they go to war and they go to the island and burn the boats. That's how I equate it here. You either make it or you perish. And knock on wood, I've been very fortunate. I am still here. So take it away, my friend.
I would just build off of what you're saying. I'm a big believer that exercise is a necessary form of selfishness. You need to make that time for yourself. So when people say, like, I'm going to train, I'm going to get in shape, I go, your first workout is to prioritize it.
Yep.
I got this time. You tell me when you can block it out. And then that you own it. It's yours. It's yours to do what you want with. I will keep getting you stronger. And, you know, not everybody will understand why you have to block that out, but it's not their journey to understand. It's your journey to understand, and we will work it out. And when you said take step backwards, that makes a lot of sense to me, because often regressions are progressions. If you've been doing this a long enough time, you don't just keep moving forward nonstop like a snowball. You start going like, okay, it's not working. I got to take a couple steps back, and if I'm going to move this stone, if I'm going to move this bell, if I'm going to get my body to this bar, I got to figure out the right way for my body to get up there or to get this stone up. And it's a grueling process. And not everybody's into that. They want it to be a transformation.
Yep.
Transformations don't happen. The people who transform their bodies have been doing it for years.
Yep.
They've been putting in the work and taking steps backwards and a couple steps forwards. And they've been trying to work it out in their own way. That's why I loved what you started with John Wooden, because it really is like you're putting your own little stamp on it, and you've been putting in your work, and there's some stuff you can share that from your own experience that's really, really valuable, just like everybody else, because we're all putting in the hours.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, and this is what I always say too, Zach, is this, you know, it takes years to become accomplished if you're lucky to be given all those years. And there's too many people now, in my opinion, that waste a lot of time. They're not very serious about what they do. And we all know we live in a society that's very quick now. It wants things now. And the thing about physical culture, anything you want to get into, you're not going to get the quickness of the new iPhone out there. I hate to break it to everybody, but that is the cause and effect of everything you do. And to me, what I've learned more than anything, especially like stones and sandbags, especially in all the dead stop training when I initially started that about 15 years ago, this was I'm always looking at things as opportunities, and I hope everybody does in their lives too. But these were things, man, that I had never done before, and I never was apprehensive with them. But, you know, you're wondering, am I going to be able to get very strong off this? Am I going to be able to excel in this stuff? Because there wasn't many people around doing it, and there still aren't many around doing it. And this is a whole new game we're playing here. And initially, when I started the dead stop stuff, well, a little bit different version of it, it was mainly Doug Hepburn that I started with. Then Anthony DiTillo came into the scene because I was buying a lot of old Iron Man books from Bill Hinburn, and I'm like, who the hell is Anthony DiTillo? And I look at this guy, and you know, You look at his traps alone, and you could, it looks like you could use it for a bookcase, literally. Just unbelievable, big power rack proponent, and that's what really got me started on the whole thing. And then, you know, Steve Jack with the Stones. You know, when you see him over in Husafell, and I remember the first time I watched that DVD, I didn't say a word, I bet, for 10 minutes after. I was floored when I saw that Stone, when I saw the environment he was in, and the whole itinerary that led up to it. It was just absolutely incredible. And that got me into the Stones, and I said immediately after I finally got my breath back after watching that, I said, I'm going to become a stone lifter now. I'm going to Iceland. I've gone there twice. We had an injury the first time. Second time, lifted it up a few times, but the storm was so bad you couldn't even see in front of you. And that's going in mid-November, and who knows? I was ready to go. You went, that's the chance you take. Getting ready to go on some more voyages, obviously. But the point I'm going to make, and I'll send it right to you, is this. All these things that I've done and have accomplished in a lot of great ways, I've tried through the show. Well, we don't try here. I've done through the show, and I know I have. We've really started a revolution here, and I mean in physical culture, in stone lifting, in dead stop training, in mobility, in MMA, you name it, you know, Highland Games. It's all here now. And what we're doing now is this cause and effect that we all love to do, and it takes us years and decades to do it. And then people come to Zach and ask him, well, how do I get to be able to move till I'm 100 years old? What do I have to do? How do I lift the sandbag properly without hurting myself? How do I learn about how to straddle a stone to get this beast up, right? How do I grab an Olympic bar, a thick bar, and become proficient at it? Better than anybody else, whether you are or aren't. These are all the questions, and I've got more answers now than I ever had to give. But I can tell you, I will take it to my grave because I don't know everything, and I never will. But that's how I equate everything with myself. Some of the new things I've done in the last 15 years, and I'm sure there's going to be many more down the road. So take it away, my friend.
I would build off of what you're saying again, Eric. It's interesting once you finally reach something in your training, and you could throw out any example from any different modality, and someone will say, like, well, how'd you get to that? How do you do that? Yep. Where do you start? And I go, it took me years. Yep. It took me years. And there's... And to give you a snapshot of that time period is hard. I mean, I got there probably differently than somebody else did, but it's
sure.
You have to put in a lot of time to it. And you also got to figure out which modalities you work well with, because different body types will take to different styles. Then you'll find a groove where you just really take to a certain style or a couple different styles. And I always come back to patterns, because if you can keep making the pattern as good as possible, then possibly you can do as many modalities as you can, which keeps it fun and interesting. But you always have to, when you're dealing with somebody who's new, you always got to say, like, you really need to understand that this is a game of inches. Like, you're eating away at stuff. It's not like you get a 10 lesson thing and you're lifting stones. It doesn't quite work like that. That's why a lot of people don't stick with it.
No, you're right.
You gotta put in some time and then some, and you gotta be in that cave by yourself, hashing out the demons and kind of fine tuning it for yourself and your own body. Some people have longer legs, some people have short arms. There's people who can bench press a ton, but the bar only moves a little bit. If you're doing that with somebody that's got super stretch arms, you gotta go about it differently. So those hours, I don't think everybody sees those hours. And even from me looking in, I keep trying to go to people's gym, and maybe if I'm in a state, I'll figure out, oh, I need to visit this guy while I'm there, because he's been doing incredible things. And I always go into a gym with a very white belt kind of attitude, like, I'm in your place, you do awesome things, I just want to approach it as a beginner, because I know for you to do what I saw, I can't do that in 6 months. I'm going to have to bring it back, take some notes, and kind of keep working at it. Yep. Like, if I take up stones, it's going to be total white belt. I'm going to be going, Eric's doing some great stuff, but I'm not there. How do I kind of inch my way towards that.
I'd be glad any time to help you out, so the invitation's always there. I don't know everything, but, you know, I've taken the hard knock lessons, believe me. And, you know, I'll just let everybody know this is going to be something people are going to really enjoy. Sunday we're going to do a joint podcast with Douglas Graham and Martin Janzik about something. They're running a joint project all about this stuff. So that's going to be something everybody's going to want to tune into, and we'll get that up early the following week. But, you know, Zach, this is what I want to ask you, because I think, especially with what you do and what I've seen as a trainer, is there a common thread you see in, even though they're different body types, obviously mental types and all that, is there a common thread of, I'll just use the word, and it's a very vanilla word with what I'm asking you, but it is a very important word. Is there, what do you see as a typical winner when they go after this stuff? What attributes do you see in the guys and girls that understand what you're conveying, what you're demonstrating, what you're reinforcing, and the things they're doing wrong that you've got to tell them? Is there a commonality, a thread with them mentally, physically? Let's just talk about the mental end, because that's a very interesting prospect.
To me, in physical culture, anyone who has had some success or is starting to get some recognition,
yep,
is just mentally tough.
Yeah.
They don't have a certain body type. They're a stick figure. They're huge. They don't look like a fitness model. They're totally unassuming. They're totally unassuming people, but they are strong as hell between the ears.
Yeah.
So they show up. That's really what it is. The kind of mentality about beast stuff always cracks me up, because if you're a beast, you're the guy that's still showing up. You're still figuring it out. You're still fine-tuning your craft. And it could be a sport. It could be really anything to be. But it's the talented people. I don't know. When somebody says that guy's really talented, I'm like, so?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Is he mentally tough? I'll work with him if he's mentally tough, because I've met tons of talented people, and they are not tough between the ears. And you got to be tough if I'm going to work with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree totally on that, because, I'm not going to name any names, but these guys are even local guys that have done some pretty good lifts. But they never impressed me. Well, I'm going to put it a couple different ways and see what you say. You know, a lot of people can run on raw talent for a while, and I've seen it a number of times with all types of male and female lifters, no matter what genre they were in. And then simple things like, you know, and you never want to see anybody get injured, but things happen. You could end up getting a tear, et cetera, et cetera. And suddenly you start seeing the cracks in everything at that point, because they never were that mentally tough. And they got by on a lot of talent and probably a lot of accolades and blah, 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 blah. But suddenly, when the bottom drops out, that's when, to me, you see who the real person is inside that shell, as I call it. And a lot of times, I've seen a lot of them where they can't come back. And if they come back, it's basically half-assed and they're not around for much longer after that. And I've always said this, too. My brother-in-law is a varsity football coach in a suburban school here in New York. And he's got some guys that are very talented, there's no doubt about it. And he's got some other guys where people would probably say, well, you know, they're mediocre, they're good enough, they get by. You know, a lot of times I'd rather have the mediocre and get by, because I'll tell you why. Work ethic is 100% better. They don't have to be pushed, and they don't have to basically be coddled or told how great they are or constantly smiled upon. But here's where I think the biggest thing is, and this matters in life. This matters out in the outside world more than anything, because what you create in that gym, no matter where it is, and if you understand physical culture, you will be, as I say, a steward of strength on the outside, because not only will you help offer solutions, but you'll be a leader, like my pop always said, and that is very important. But this is what I say with the football player example. That's the one who I want to be my field general out on the field. Why? Because the other athletes look up to him because of what he contributes and what he shows, his work ethic, his leadership ethic. He may not be the greatest guy on the team, and he probably never will be, but man, when you're in the fourth quarter and you're making your last stand, that's the guy I want standing up and saying whatever they're going to say to me, all right? Mm-hmm. That is very, very important, and I think a lot of that in today's world is bypassed because all we want is that 30 seconds of ESPN fame. Take it.
Exactly. It's kind of a Rudy factor. That
yeah.
makes it more popular. Like yeah. there's yep. there's certain people that are okay getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's certain people that are okay showing up 15 minutes early just to get other sets in.
Yep.
We grease the groove. So I have clients. I'm like, this is your exercise. This is your homework. Like a video game. Check the board, and every sliver of time you have available, I want you to practice it.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll get three sets in, or three reps in, and then you just keep clicking at it. And then by the end of your 12-hour day, you've done 100 and some of them, because
yep.
you're making the most of those slivers of time. And the Rudies out there do that. They
yeah.
they do it, and then they get humbled enough. You get knocked on your ass. You make mistakes. There's some things you're not as good at that someone else is good at, and it humbles you. So it's not an ego thing. You're out there to keep getting better, but to keep getting better, you have to keep showing up at times that people don't really want to show up. Not everybody wants to get up early or stay late or do those things, but they're out there, and those guys are not necessarily talented, but they win the long race.
Yeah.
Yep. The long race.
It's the longevity they want. You know, they want to be around. They want to do what they need to do. They want to lead. They want to be part of something that's more than just them. But the nice thing about being who you are is because of what you are and how you handle yourself and how hard you work. That translates all over. I mean, you know, I can remember my college professor, Frank Klein, always saying, you know, When you're of a like where you're very exuberant, where you're very excited, that's contagious. Now I want
exactly.
that type, right? I want that type of contagious when I walk into the gym, when I'm training with different people, where we're going no holes barred, where literally we've done stuff out here. It's lucky we didn't die out there. But it was the fact that, and I'm not telling anybody to go that crazy if they don't feel it, but I've been doing this long enough where I can gauge things. And like all of us, we have these experiences with training that unless you do it, I can only explain it to you this way. I'll explain one of the wildest experiences I've ever had in my life training. My buddy Richie, who was one hell of an Olympic lifter at one time, and I were in a huge gym. You've seen the picture of me pressing those 150-pound dumbbells on a 2-inch handle on that incline. I've put that up a number of times. It was called the Steel Pier. And you talk about hardcore, unbelievable gym. It was, if there's ever a point right now and it came back into existence, it'd be the only place I'd go other than my backyard. So it was about in the gym. It was a very hot, humid summer day, and we were in the power rack doing dead stop squats, and we were really mountain weight. Richie was half my size, but the guy could still dead stop squat 450 at about 160 pounds, all right? And I was up in the sixes at that point. And it had to be 115 in that gym. And I'm telling everybody the God's honest truth, because when I said it to him, he knew what I was talking about. It was so hot in there, and I was getting ready to dead stop, and I swear I stepped out of my body and watched me squat. It was that, and I don't know, maybe I was hallucinating. It was so friggin' hot in there. But I completed the lift and put it back down on the rods, and we just kept going, all right? And I'm here to tell you that these things can happen to you depending on how hard you're pushing, who you're with and what you want to do. And what I want to say, everybody should experience that once, if not more, in their training career. Because I felt at that point after that lift that I contacted a central nervous system in me I've never touched before. And I swear to everyone, that inner spirit that everybody talks about, that walked right out of me. So anybody that thinks that the mind, the body, and the spirit are not connected, I'm here to tell you, then you don't understand physical culture or yourself. There you go, my friend. Take that.
Well, I like what your professor said, because I always tell people, like, the door to happiness opens outward. You got to put yourself out there. You got to try things. Yep. And there are trainers who believe they have it all figured out, and that's fine. They think you just do things a certain way, and it's great. But you're in a lab constantly. Anytime you're training, it's a lab. Things are going to go wrong. Things are going to go right. And you have to be able to do it safely. And you have to keep coming back to this idea where the mind and the soul are not separate.
Right.
You're training your nervous system. You're putting in new software all the time.
Yep.
And when you have one of those workouts where you're like, damn, I got new software now, man. I can do new things faster. I got a better pattern going. That's when you're really working at stuff. And that answer is not the same for every person.
No.
You can't give them just this works for me, so it's going to work for you. Not necessarily.
Yep.
And you want to train their nervous system so they can have workouts like that,
yep,
where they get confidence from it, they get stronger from it. It's life-changing. And then when they get heavy weight on the bar or do something that someone would say is hardcore, they have to have that base, that confidence of, I can attack this weight and I own this weight. Because you can't approach a weight with a lazy mindset. You approach the weight the same way you approach everything else.
Yep. You know, the whole thing with that, see, you made the perfect point. The lazy mindset. And I'm here to tell anybody, I'll just use it from a dead stop squat position. You walk in there timid, no confidence, lazy for the day in your head, you might as well pack it up and go home. Because you're not moving jack off those rods. I got news for you. Or you're going to have to knock down to maybe 50% of whatever your maximum is. And sometimes it's better to do that. I've had days where I packed it in. But I'm not lazy of mine. What happens is I was just not recovered fully. So you do the right thing. I mean, you lessen the load. Or you say, okay, we've reached our limit today. I'm not going to fool around with any more of it. See, that's what you learn over the years with experience. That's what you learn when you want to last in this type of physical culture, the whole idea of it for the rest of your life. See, everybody wants to be a Facebook star right away, or they want to be on the cover of whatever new magazines out there. Great, if that's what you want. But you know what? Lifting is more than lifting. Lifting, and I say is paramount, is your health. Because if your health does not work for you, weights no longer work for you, kettlebells don't work for you, stones and sandbags don't work for you, and guess what? You're not going to work for you anymore. You're just going to be wrecked, all right? Is it not far more important to be healthy and vital and strong and leading? Aren't those things what you want? You know how many kids right now we talk about, and I'll go right to you, my friend. You know how many kids we talk about now that are listening to this show? How many notes I'm getting from whether they're on the show or not that now they're children because I put my nephew Danny sandbags up that he's doing now. Now that's leading a revolution too. I'm getting stuff all over the place from little kids as old as 3 years old. This is incredible. To be able to take – go ahead, brother.
You're never too young to set an example.
No, and it's vitally important. I feel, this is me talking, I'll give it right to you, I feel a responsibility to this more than anything on the show. I'm not perfect with language and sometimes the things we say, but I will tell you this, my heart's always in the right place, and all I want to see everybody do is excel in whatever it is they are. Not many people will say that because too many damn people only give a shit about themselves. That's never been me, and it's what I want, and this is what the company is built off. It's built off of standards and reputation, and we will keep this intact till the day I go off the air. Take it away, my friend.
We're agreeing on so many things, Eric. For me, like, you post things online, and people will say, like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. That's so dangerous. And yeah, you'll say, like, well, look, the most dangerous exercise is a lazy rep.
Yeah.
You're either, that's bottom line. Like, yeah, I don't care what you can do. You're expressing yourself. If you can do it safely,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
But if you can't do it safely, then there's a problem there. But if you're not in it, like, you're not listening to your body because you're not eating right, or you're overtraining, or you're just going balls out all the time, your body's going to tell you that, and you're not going to be mentally ready to attack the weight.
Right.
You have to find a balance in your food and all these things where when you approach it, there's nothing lazy in your mind. You are blocked out. Like, you're not thinking about bills. You're not thinking about who you got to pick up. You're not thinking about your day. You're right, thinking about the weight. And that's why it's safe, because it's just you and the weight. And if you approach it like that, you can do a lot of dynamic things. But if your mind's not there, and you're not mentally tough and ready to go and haven't put in the work, yeah, it could be dangerous. But
oh, yeah,
if you've put in the work, you've done all the legwork, and you're ready to do only that, then express yourself. Go
yeah,
for it, man.
And I think you're right on. But here's another thing, and I'll be interested, because I think you'll probably totally go with this, is this. Don't complain. I want everybody to understand what I'm saying. I'm going to be very clear about it. If you don't want to put the work in, you don't want to put the time in, and everything's just a big pain in the ass, you got no right to complain. And I don't want to hear it, and nobody else wants to either. This is the problem with so many things now, and this is the stuff that I just love to stress, and this is it. If you want to do some great things, there's so many people that are going to give you the ability to do it. They're going to help you out. Obviously, it's going to cost money. Anything that's worthwhile is going to cost money, because Zach, myself, everybody else, you know how many years we've got into this stuff? I mean, this didn't come easy. At least for me, it didn't. Some things I did excel highly at. But if you were in my office right now, you ought to see all the books that are to my left, right, and to my far right in another cabinet. It would blow your mind. And I'll tell you right now, yes, I do. I am a connoisseur of some new stuff when I like it. But I'm in the process right now, and I believe it came out in 92 or 93. I have every issue of Milo magazine. That's Randall Strassen's magazine.
Fantastic magazine. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Equipment that
yep,
it's associated with, too.
I've got every piece. He's been on the show. He's a fan. I've known him for years. Great guy. And I am rereading every single one of them. Now, I had a friend of mine say to me, well, what the hell are you doing that for? Because 20 years ago, I wasn't even close to what I know now. And I guarantee you, in every article, I missed something. And there's going to be something now from the original issue with Paul Anderson on the cover that I missed. And let me tell you, everybody, that's what you need to do. And everybody says, oh, you only go forward in life. Really? Really? I got news for you. If you don't know your past, as they say, you're going to repeat your past. But in this instance, I do want to repeat the past, because I'll tell you why. That material in there is a gold mine. Gold mine. Just like Motivation Muscle. I believe I was told by a person that this show reminds them of the old Perry Rader Iron Man. You couldn't give me a greater compliment than that, I guarantee you. That is incredible. And I hope someday we do reach that status. We're not there yet, but we're pretty damn good. When I go out and read those magazines, when I go out and read Milo, when I go out and read anything, all right, Bud Jeffrey's old stuff, anything like that.
Or oh, he's a great guy.
Awesome guy. Think and Grow Rich. You know how many times I've read that book? I bet 100. I'll read it 500 more times before they lay me to rest. What I'm saying, folks, is this. Never discount pertinent information. I don't care if it was 20 years ago, 50 years ago. Go out and read the book Super Strength, Alan Calvert. It'll blow your friggin' top right off your head. And these are the things that matter. And when you go out and keep learning with all the education and the training you have under your belt right now, I guarantee you, I'll make a guarantee to you, you will become absolutely unstoppable, brutal. And I mean brutal. You know, as Mickey said to Rocky in Rocky II in the ring when he's fighting Creed for the last time, you're an Italian tank. You cannot be stopped. Go after them and go through them. That's how I approach everything, and that's what I want to give to everyone every day we're on here. Zach, summarize and go ahead. Well, what I was going to say, summarize everything. You got plenty of time. Give out all your information. I'll give mine, and we'll set up another show at some point in June. But believe it or not, he and I have already been on the air for 1 hour, if you can believe that. It's insane how quick this show goes. So take it away, brother.
I would just end by saying, like, it's cool that there's some young kids listening to this. Guys, girls, doesn't matter.
Yep, yep.
Everyone's strong. If you train, I don't care who you are, you're strong. But the biggest lie anybody will tell you is it's not that simple. And the reality is, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to put in the time.
Yep.
And nothing gets around, like Schwarzenegger says, nothing gets around hard work. You put in the time, you keep grinding at it, and good things will happen. Good things will happen, and then you'll just get more interested. It's funny because, like, youth would be an ideal state if it came later in life.
Yeah.
So I look at myself and go, like, if I was starting all of this when I was – and I was serious about it when I was 12. Oh, my gosh. Where would I be?
I'm with you.
You just got to put in the time. So if it's great that this show is hitting a younger audience where they're getting after it and seeing that there's a lot of information out there that they can process and kind of create their own story sooner than later.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Hey, I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to just tell you something interesting. I got a note from a gentleman and a lady that were in their late 70s. The woman might have been 80. And it was very interesting, let me tell you. They wrote to me and said, "We listen to your podcast, but, you know, we don't understand a lot of the training and all that. We don't train. We're still able to get around. We still live independently, and we love to walk. And we love to put that in our ears when we walk." And I was, like, floored. I was like, is this a joke? It wasn't a joke because I followed up on it. And the greatest thing was, and I'm just telling you what they said, and I'm going to, you know, it's going to sound like I'm patting myself on my back, but I got to be honest. I got to tell you what they said. They said, and one person was from New York and the other one was from Philadelphia. Well, one was New Jersey, whatever. I call it the same thing. It's different, I know. And they said to me, the one person from Jersey said, "The thing that I liked about you was your personality and that tough-sounding New York accent." And the woman was like, "I just love the way you talk to people and how you explain stuff and inspire." And I was like, that's absolutely amazing, because now we've got even an older generation of people. We have the in-between, and now we've got the kids coming in more and more. And I'll make this quick because I didn't mean to cut into your time. But you know what it pleases me more than anything, Zach, is this. There's an awful lot of wayward kids out there right now. And if I and everybody else associated with the show and the family can help these kids or just say something constructive or something that they can get onto, let me tell you something. That's extremely important, because you know what? I can't be their parents, but if I could save their life from incarceration or worse and get them into the weights, get them into the sandbags, get them into the kettlebells, learn mobility. Hey, you know what, man? When I leave this earth, then I know I contributed something and left a legacy. It's all yours the rest of the way.
I would be on the same page. If I post anything and likes, comments. I could care less. I don't even have a website.
Right.
I do it through that media, and it's all about if it connects to someone, it's huge. Like, I'll come home and tell my wife, like, hey, somebody said, like, this little variation I did helped them through this exercise. And I'd be like, oh, it's total win for the day. Like, if it helps somebody, it's perfect. I don't know where they're at. And, oh, I want to get interested in kettlebells because I saw you do something.
Right.
Cool. Where do you live? Maybe I know a coach there. And I want to start seeing more of that, where you're connecting coaches across time zones. And we're started a page called Our Jedi Council, which was started just with a few of us.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, share ideas and give ourselves a hub where we're like, we don't care what style you do. You move well. You coach well. And we're up to 36 countries now, and we got over 40 styles, and everyone in there has something to contribute. They're adding to the story, and people kind of find what's useful, you find what's your own, you make it your own, and you grow. If I can help that with anybody who's listening to the show or sees any of my stuff, and they go, I got a little bit better at this because of that Zach Lane guy. That's it. That's the core of what I would want to do, apart from anything else. That's when I'm going, like, I'm onto something. I got my voice, and then I just want to include more and more voices in this huge. I mean, there's coaches doing amazing things across languages and time zones, and just bringing them together, and all those young kids go, like, wow, I'm not limited to my little county.
Yeah.
There's a big world out there, and there's a lot of people with great ideas. And now I just got to get connected to them, go to their gym, learn a little bit from this person. Kind of like a mixed martial arts. You're just a mixed movement. You're getting better at moving by learning from everybody's stuff.
Well, and that, you know,
take it away.
No. But what I'm saying too, and it's a perfect thing, is this. This is what I always said about M&M. We're going to have tentacles and everything, and we want to be a repository for everybody, you know, with people like you. And whether it's like today, you know, we had John Bruni on, and we had Sean Berkey and Carmen Caputo yesterday. See, we all might do different things, but we all lend to the same thing in one form or another. And it's, we all want to be the best we can be. We want to lend our expertise, we want to teach the mental aspects, and we really want to build confidence in every age group, because people are lacking confidence all over the world, in my opinion, and a lot of this stuff is not taught anymore. And a lot of people think, you know, it's just being this, that, and the other thing. No, it's not. There's certain ways still that you need to conduct yourself. You know, I can remember, and I'll make this quick because we're almost at time, is, you know, I can remember my mother and father saying to me all the time, hold your fork correctly. Put your napkin on your lap. When you meet somebody, firm handshake, look them in the eyes. You know, and I used to say, yeah, okay. And then when you get out in the business world, which I did prior to this business, these two businesses, you know how many times they were right and I was like just shaking my head, and internally the voice was going off. And I can't tell you, being involved in a high-end IT engineer job, you were going out with these people that were quote-unquote very, very intelligent. But, and it might not matter to people today. It matters to me, though, because it says a lot about your character. Shoveling food into their mouth, not putting a napkin on their lap, smacking their lips, the whole deal, talking to you, which I can't take with anybody, eating food and trying to talk to me. I'm like, I want to get up and leave, all right? And then most of all, my pop used to always tell me, and my grandfather did too. I mean, they were Italian through and through. They could be Corleone, believe me. I remember my pop saying all the time, a man should have a firm handshake, not a sweaty hand, which I've met a number of them in my day. And if he doesn't look you in the eye, and I'm sure plenty of people might dispute this, but I'll argue with this all day, he said, never trust them. They're not trustworthy people. If my dad was alive today, not only would I love for him to be sitting next to me when you and I are speaking, I would give my father, and we were never touchy-feely like that. I would give my father the biggest hug and cheek kiss that he ever had in his life, because my dad has saved me from so many things that could have just crippled me totally. So that's the premise of everything here, and I hope that's the premise with everybody that comes on here, that we are a family that is scattered maybe all over the world, but M&M brings everybody together. Like I said, we are a big octopus head, and we have tentacles in everything. Zach, give out any information, websites, all that. I know you don't have a website, but ways people can get a hold of you, anything in that medium, anything else you want to say, let me give out my information, and we'll wind up our first of many podcasts, my friend.
My name is Zach Blaine. I'm in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I run Dynamic Fitness. For social media, I run all of my stuff through Facebook, through different groups. And the main thing I want to end on is just like what you did with your dad there. With my folks, they always said, don't let movement become a forgotten language. And that always stuck with me. Like, if you want to be strong, you want to be strong as long as you can, you need to remember certain motor skills. You need to remember how to get up and off the ground. You need to remember how to get upstairs correctly. You need to be able to move heavy stuff. And that can translate to languages. You forget using the language because you forget to practice it.
Yep.
You got to keep bringing your practice every day and remembering that the body is designed to move. So keep moving as well as you can, and you can have your tentacles in everything for as long as you can do that.
I've
really enjoyed the show, Eric. It's been great to be on here. I'm happy to be part of this family.
Well, we're glad to have you and welcome. And I think that you're going to really enjoy what's coming up next because, as I've said, Zach, we are pretty tight money-wise, and we're going to do whatever we got to do to survive. But the indications from a lot of things is I do believe, and I've pushed this out into the universe, we will be a national radio show within 3 years or less. And I know people say you're full of what, but I got news for you. I'm a guy that, as I said to John this morning, and I've said it before, only an act of God is going to kill me from doing this. That is, if you knew me personally, you would know exactly where I'm coming from, because I am more hell-bent than probably anybody when I decide I'm going to do something. I love this. I love the contribution we all give to the world. And with that in mind, we will end up, I'm sure, who knows how many days, one day a month, we will have a live call-in show. So we might have a John Bruni and a Zach Blaine and an Eric Fiorello sitting at a table where what we're talking about, we're going to be able to take live call-ins, and we're going to actually talk to the people. This is what we need to do. We got to stop hiding behind devices. We need to get out there and speak the language again. That is what I live for, and I know the other things can be very handy with business at times, but there's nothing like the human touch and the human spoken word, so I'll leave it at that. And I thank you for being on. This is Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out and hopefully purchase the Winner's Circle. That is, like I said, 12 modules. I'm speaking for a minimum of a half an hour, and it goes after a lot of the old school stuff as they talk about, but it's more than that. It's like we talked about, the physical culture. The way to believe, the way to conduct yourself, the way to live, the way to treat others, the way to train, the way to train others. Everything we talked about today was physical culture. And it's physical culture at its zenith, believe me. So check out those 12 things. There is also a 13 module that will be going up shortly called the Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. It's an incredible 20-minute spoken by me again, where I really tell you what physical culture is to me and what I believe. Also, too, go out to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and look at the 680 shows we've done already. We're going to have millions of listeners, I guarantee it. This is going to be one of the biggest things you've ever seen in physical culture. Why? because I've willed it. Why? Because I'm getting people like Zach who are coming in. Suddenly, it just that's the way things work atmospherically. And when you put out the thoughts you want, you start building that circle. And the circle gets bigger and bigger. And as my buddy Clint Darden said, who's on here all the time, Eric, is going to come a time when people that were on that are going to start dropping off and new ones are coming in. He said that means you're growing more and more. And I do believe what Clint said because I've seen it happen. And the realm of people coming in here is like unbelievable. And I thank everybody and all the family because I can't do this on my own. I steer the ship. I occasionally do pods on my own, and people have asked me repeatedly why. I just don't have time right now, but I will continue doing them, try to do at least one a month. Also, too, go out to iTunes, well, it's called Apple now, and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what everybody's giving us. We thank everybody for that. You can also get us on your car stereo. Now, all the new cars have the capability of getting podcasting on. Go out to AHA, that's AHA, that's the directory, and you can get Motivation Muscle in your car 24/7. And that's a hell of a way to start and end your day because I know people that tell me that too. So I just love it, man. I'm glad I don't have an ego or my head would have blew up like a helium balloon right now. It just makes me so happy to know that people are enjoying our craft and we're getting more and more in. I'm telling you, like they say to me, it's like sitting at a table with you, Eric, I feel like when you talk. And I couldn't be happier to do it. And I know I'm going to meet up with a number of you down the road once we become much more financially solvent. Wait till the film, the video, and all the fun we'll have then. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do that for the next 30 years. If there's a show you'd like Zach and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.r.com, and I'll leave you with a multitude of things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say something inspirational to them. We've talked about that, especially with young kids in trouble. 5 words can change your life, and I can tell you that for sure because I've been spoken 5 good and 5 bad many times. 5 good really make the difference. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or offer them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as a great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been on the show, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 30 years, my friend. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure to me. He died almost 3 years this summer of cancer. Keep smiling. He'd walk every patient to the door. I know John would be very proud of me. John was a big push in all this, so keep smiling, everybody. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming. We won't knock. We will put our foot through your door. Join the family. Join the revolution. I promise you, the next 30 years of your life will be like you're sitting on a pot of gold every day. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness. We take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would say that in today's world, but we say it and mean it, and that's the way it is. Zach, honor, pleasure, welcome to the family, and I look forward to our next show, brother.
I look forward to it, too. Likewise. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. You're very much appreciated, too. So, for Zach Blaine, Eric Fiorello, like I said, 5 to 8 days, we'll get Zach up, and we'll get Zach on again. And, you know, pay attention to what he's doing on Jedi. Also, he's on Etched. I just have a feeling more and more stuff is coming both ways. This is how the world works when you put out good, positive energy, everybody. Don't think that doesn't mean something. It really does. So today is Tuesday. You got 5 more days to make a difference out there, and then you got the rest of your life. So you know what? Go out and do something that means something, something that is meaningful. The world expects that from you. Look, we'll talk to you soon, and send anything you want to either one of us. I love to get feedback. We'll talk to you soon, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.